Welcome back for another episode. I am Ross Bolin, and this is my podcast. Today, I am joined, as per usual, by my co-host, Jared Borslow, fresh off a relaxing weekend in Texas. Not wine country? Where were you?
It's more so Texas creek country. It's in the hill country.
What the hell does that mean, Jared?
So
creek
there's a,
country.
There's a spring-fed creek called Jacob's Well, which feeds this beautiful creek called Cypress Creek, where there are these large cypress trees that grow along the edges of it. You feel like you're in, like, a river runs through it, like, beautiful,
you
amazing.
Don't feel like that. You
yeah, I felt
like
a little
that.
Bit like it. My dog loved...
You thought you were Brad Pitt?
I wish I was Brad Pitt.
Okay.
A lot of people say I look like Brad Pitt. More people say Elon Musk.
That is true. You would be shocked by how many DMs we've gotten by people being like, how did you get either Brad Pitt or Elon Musk as your co-host? And I'm like, I'm just huge. You know,
we had a good weekend. We just went around to like some, there's like, you know, a lot of like outdoor little patio restaurants. We had our dog with us, so brought the dog everywhere. Very fun.
Highly recommend. You would think we've come further than this, but I just Googled what is a creek, and it just served me up stream. I asked creek. Jeez Louise.
I mean, I'd say a creek is a large stream.
Who owns Google?
Alphabet. Alphabet Corporation.
Who's the CEO?
Oh, Sergey
Kurosavo?
Yeah. It's some Sergey Briskin. Sergey Brisket.
Who founded Google?
And Isaac Asimov. Who is it?
Larry Page and Sergey Brin.
Sergey Brin. I was pretty close.
Hey, how come we never hear about these cats?
Cuz they're they're like doing stuff behind the shadows.
All right, that freaks me out a little. We recently talked about our favorite billionaire overlords, and it just occurred to me, like, wait a minute, where are the Google dudes at?
Well, remember that these guys also run YouTube.
Sundar Pichai is the, Pichai?
P-I-C-H-A-I. Well, remember, these guys run YouTube, noted massive onboarding tool for ISIS and other extremist organizations, and we seem to crack down more on Facebook when YouTube's pretty...
God, they're flying under the radar, the Google guys. They really are. In other news, I've been on the stock market for a full year now. I went in completely dry, clueless, with little to no idea what I was doing. So I wanted to share my takeaways on the stock market, or the stonk market, as it is known to some, after 1 year of action to start today's show. Lesson number one, very few people on the normal citizen level have ever actually known how the stock market works. And very few people at the highly educated, wealthy level know how the stock market works. Rich people are morons and will do anything with their money, it turns out. I think I'm technically one of them. The shoes above me cost over a G. Keep in mind, they're divorce retainer shoes. And go listen to the episode of this show titled Divorce Retainer Shoes if you need a further explanation. But yeah, I talk to a lot of people now. I'm 34 years old, all right? I talk to a lot of people with money, a lot of them over 40, but a lot of my friends in their 30s who are really smart, a lot smarter than me. And
are you trying to flex by saying you talk to people with money? Because not all of us talk to people with money, Ross.
It's not a flex necessarily. It's just a fact. And as a result, I have a better understanding of what the general citizenry knows about the stock market than I ever have before. And it is so little... that it is fairly shocking. So the big reveal here was obviously with GameStop and AMC and the retail traders going berserk on Reddit, revealing basically that the entire thing is a system of like pulleys and levers to, well, we'll get to this. Lesson number two, the stock market is not a get-rich-quick place. It's a place for people who are already well off, like more well off than 90% of the world, to put their money so that large corporations can then use that money to make more money and then give the rich people more money, making them richer. I bought in when the market crashed in 2020. Absolutely idiotic, dumb luck timing. I was like, eh, screw it, I'll do stonks. There are no sports. And I made a killing and thought, like a killing for me, and thought this was just never going to stop. And that is absolutely not how it works. And it will crash again. And this is not a place to get rich quick unless you own AMC or GameStop. Then you're part of the reason number one exists, which is that nobody knows how any of this works at all.
That's pretty accurate. I mean, you got to remember this. How about Delta Airlines spent the last like 20 years using the money that they got from the stock market to buy shares of their own company back from private investors?
Called buybacks.
So then what happened was when you know, people stopped traveling and they had all this inflow of cash stopped, they had no cash reserves because they had spent all their cash buying their own stock from people. So then if you're a Delta shareholder, you're like, oh, nice. That's cool. Now we don't have any money.
I don't know if you've seen these headlines, but the GameStop CEOs and the AMC CEOs have not failed to take advantage of the situation and have paid themselves shit tons of money. As an example of like the way you think that this goes, it just doesn't. It just doesn't. If you're very smart, like very smart, and work really hard to find trends several years out and invest in sectors and know how to do math and are connected and understand S-packs and shorts and longs and dongs, then maybe if you're lucky, you can make a little money and take a little money and make it into a lot of money. But like otherwise, that's not very likely. And I hate how they put out these headlines. It'll be like, if you would put $1,000 in Tesla stock when The Simpsons did an episode featuring Elon Musk, this is how much you'd have now. And it's like, who the fuck would have made, who makes decisions that way? And the answer is most of us, because none of us have any idea how this works.
They just want to, they want the FOMO to happen. They want the next time, those like memes and stuff are built to make you go, the next time you have a little inkling, oh my God, I need to just put it in. Like if YOLO, like if I don't do it now, I'm going to regret it in 10 years, when really you actually have less money.
The beauty of this is that it's existed long before even the internet. I watched an episode of The Sopranos. We're covering The Sopranos on patreon.com/oystersclamscockles, episode by episode. And there's an episode in the first two seasons that refers where Carm, Tony Soprano's wife, is having a dinner party where she meets with some other, you know, fucking rich New Jersey wasps. And they're all talking about the stock market and how they don't play, they win. But they're insider trading. And it's essentially they're doing this FOMO game, and she ends up buying in out of FOMO and doesn't have a fucking clue what it's actually about, which is how most of this works, which is exactly how like a pyramid scheme works. And it all just sounds like incredibly familiar when you really start to break it down. So to get back to my personal lesson learning, lesson number three, diversification is key, as Wu-Tang said on Chappelle's show. You can't just buy all tech stocks like I did, even if the market crashes. Because then when the tech sector gets boned down the line, it won't matter that the market is up because you're going to be down bad. Like there have been days where people's like 401ks are way, way up and everybody on the news is super stoked and I check my portfolio and I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Like I lost 2.5 weeks of gains here. And it's because I only own one sector worth of stocks. I sold everything else because I was like, I genuinely believed at one point during the pandemic that nothing else would ever recover. I was like, oh, we're all going to die. But tech will be fine because we need tech and the internet. None of us are ever going outside again. I was partially right. Lesson number four and the final lesson from me, obsessing over your investments, if it isn't your main source of income or day job, is going to end up driving you insane. For the first like 6 months, I just stared at this thing. And it was really fun at that point because, again, I bought in when the market crashed, so it was just mostly going up. And even then, I was going insane. Like it was exactly like gambling in that way.
The stock market is literally government regulated gambling. You're saying I think this is going to happen, and then you put money on it. It's literally gambling.
And just like sports betting, it operates where the house has an edge.
And what's sad is the house in this case isn't the government. It's all these massive, massive players in the market who use the government regulations to like make things happen. Yeah, to their advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the house, that's why you see all these like billionaires in America who are just like, oh, he's an investor. It's like, oh, yeah, he's just stealing money from all the regular people. That's what an investor is.
And that's what the thing really feels like at the end of the day. It's a place for regular people to put their money in hopes that maybe it'll turn into more. But really, the people benefiting no matter what are already loaded. And it just is a funky, it's like the more layers of it you pull back, yeah, it's complicated, and yeah, there are all these different ways you can buy in. It's like craps, right? Like the first time you stand behind a craps table, you're like, I got no fucking clue what's going on here. And then you see one dude get super stupid rich, like make 10 grand or something, and you're like, oh, this doesn't look so bad. And on the other end of the table, some dude's getting railed, and then some people are placing bets that you don't even know what they are, like in the middle of the table, they don't make any sense. It's just like, what? But at the end of the day, the house is walking home with the money.
And then, you know, Robin Hood's the dealer, and he doesn't even hand the dice over to the thrower, and he's, and you're like, what the hell? Well, he can't just do that. He can just not give them the dice. Well, he can, because the house can do whatever they want.
Yeah, they can. They can. And then that's it. They shut down the table and throw everyone out when somebody's on a hot roll. Sorry, guys. Table, actually, get out. Everyone. Why? Because.
Or it's like you and your boy are like up big on blackjack, and they're like, oh, they're probably counting cards. And they put in the speed dealer who just like, and you can't even have fun because you're like so focused on like making sure, because they're like trying to rush you.
Have you ever been like you're doing cocaine in the bathroom and you come out and you accidentally get a nosebleed and somebody gets on one of the cards and they think you're trying to mark cards. So they have to get out a whole new table with all new felt and stuff, and they throw you out of the casino and tell you to never come back.
Is that like an anecdote or?
No, it's just like that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I learned about the stock market this year. Absolutely nothing. No, because nobody you talk to, nothing you read, no television. It's like it's the same as like politics at this point, where it's mostly entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, there's not a lot of factual stuff available here. This is mostly opinionated nonsense, like highly biased most of the time.
And they say like invest in what you understand, but if you don't even understand how investing works, then it's kind of like null, right?
Yeah, if you don't understand the systematic pullers and levies that I'm referring to within the stock market, which I even us discussing knowing them, we still don't know exactly how they work. We don't even know who runs Google.
Granted, though, if I put a quarter into a gumball machine and I turn the lever, I don't know what the systems of gears is like that's making that quarter go in to give me the gumball. I just know put
you're
money
gumball.
In, get a gumball. This is like that, except sometimes there's no gumball. And actually, you have to give a gumball to the machine.
And I think that's fine. It's just that when we were young, we were taught, when you make money and grow up, the stock market is where you put that money so that it becomes more money so that you can retire and buy a boat. They didn't say, this is just like a gumball machine. And sometimes you don't get a gumball, Jared. And sometimes it's a rat turd. And you eat it anyway. And you like it. Next segment. Nick Cannon is hilarious. Fuck you, son. Jared, if I ask you who is Nick Cannon, how do you answer?
Okay. Mariah Carey's ex-husband hosted America's Got Talent for a really long time. Then he got in a lot of trouble because he said something super anti-Semitic.
And I totally forgot about
his
anti-Semitic remarks.
Recently recovering from that, but apparently during the course of the recovery, he had a lot of sex.
I mean, just an absurd amount of sex. The man is 40 years old, Nick Cannon. He's been famous for a really long time. He was once in a movie called Drumline. And he was famous from Wildin' Out. Mm-hmm. And he made R&B songs back in the day. He actually had a couple of hits. But he's a really weird, like, he's like one of these sort of like, I don't know how else to put it, but like trash elements of hip-hop. Like Soulja Boy fits into this category. He made some hits, but now he's just out there like garbaging up social media on the reg with like trash headlines and clickbait.
And like investing in shit coins.
And trying to invent video game consoles. And it's just like, what's this guy's fucking problem? That's Nick Cannon.
Nick Cannon also still looks like he's 24. He's looked 24 for the last 20 years.
But he's 40 years old. And over the weekend, it was revealed that model Alyssa Scott is carrying what will be his fourth child in less than a year.
That's okay. So, was it two women who each had two kids in 1 year? Like, you know, had the kid and then got pregnant, like, within a week of having the kid, and then, that's what I don't get here.
So, last week, literally, so over the weekend, this news breaks, last week, the week before the weekend, he welcomed twins with the DJ Abby De La Rosa. And in December, he welcomed a daughter named Powerful Queen Cannon with the model Brittany Bell, with whom he also shares a 4-year-old son. So to answer your question, 3 women, 1 year, 4 kids. And just an impressive hit list here. I mean, what is this name, though? Powerful Queen Cannon. Why would you do that?
Yeah, see, the thing about that name is, they added an adjective, powerful, and the last name's already a noun. So now it just sounds like it's a cannon that shoots out powerful queens.
Yes, that's exactly what it sounds like. And also, when parents name their children, especially celebrity parents, it's like they pretend that roll call doesn't exist. This is the number one thing that matters when considering what to name your child, is the fact that a teacher is going to have to say this over and over and over for the first several years of their life. And if everybody else in the room goes, "What?" when the teacher says their name, because you name them powerful queen cannon, it's a problem.
Well, what happened for you when the teacher did roll call? Because your first name is not actually the name you go by.
It was a fucking serious hassle, dude.
Yeah.
You know what? Never mind. Roll call is the problem. No more roll call. Give us buttons. It's 2021. Let me check in with the microchip you inserted into us when you gave us the vaccine. Something else. Roll call can't be it. Because we're all biased and shitty, where we only like the names from our culture and everything else sounds funny.
Well, how about when there's a substitute teacher and all the kids try to fuck with her during roll call by like saying they're a different kid or saying like, "Oh, I actually go by butthole."
Frankly, just all names sound funny. All names are hilariously weird. William Ross Bolin. I can't even say it right. I say Bolin half the time.
Dick Buttkiss.
That's a guy's real name, a legendary Hall of Famer.
NFL legend Dick Buttkiss.
Jandolf?
Nobody goes with Jandolf. Go on.
Okay, Jandolf the White is what I call you, though.
Okay, there's been a lot of bad names, like bad actual names.
Powerful Queen Cannon is up there.
Do you remember there was the old commissioner of FIFA, the old president of FIFA? His name was Tokyo Sex Whale.
That's awesome, though. Congratulations to Japan.
Well, it's also like, couldn't you see that being an actual paid attraction in Tokyo? Is it the Tokyo Sex Whale?
I could see that being a paid attraction here. Yeah. In America, even. Of course. Yes. According to Yahoo News, Cannon, who also has a set of twins with Mariah Carey, his ex-wife, has not commented on the birth of his children with De La Rosa or on Scott's latest Instagram post. That's the model with whom he is now welcoming his fourth child in less than a year, mm-hmm. Alyssa Scott. It's just like, dude, I remember back in college, you know, having sex with a bunch of people because that's part of college or whatever. And in hindsight, the statistical gambling we were all willing to do with our private parts is truly unbelievable. And everyone constantly being afraid of getting pregnant that wasn't having sex with Nick Cannon seems silly now, because half the people I know have to go undergo some kind of either like treatment or program to achieve pregnancy because the planet desperately wants us gone. It's just like, I used a condom 4 times in my life, somehow avoided ever getting anyone pregnant, and all STDs unless you count scabies, and it wasn't sexual unless you count a music festival with human feces all over the ground as a sexual experience.
Okay.
But 4 children in less than a year. Here's the thing about it. How, I don't know how these dudes pull off fatherhood with their schedule. Like, the scheduling seems insane to me. It just seems insane to me. How can you be like FaceTime, I guess, but like, how can you be in so many places at once?
Well, the twins will probably be together all the time, right? So that cuts it down to 3 different, you know, in person
locations.
Yeah, but that's still unbelievable.
It's a lot. Not even mentioning the child support. That just at some point, like, I feel like 4 kids in, you have to be like, fuck, this, he has 7 total now. So 4 kids in, I feel like you're like, okay, this is a lot of money every month. Like, a lot of money. But to get to 7 and to have 4 in a year, and in a year where your entire industry, by the way, is fucked. He's a musician and entertainer. I guess Wildin' Out's been fine.
Well, he had a podcast, then it got in trouble because of what he said.
Everybody had a podcast.
It was anti-Semitic.
Everybody had a podcast in 2020. Every single living human.
Every anti-Semite.
Nick Cannon is hilarious.
He is. Somebody who, I'm trying to think if I've ever seen him live. I actually was supposed to go to an America's
Nick
Got
Cannon?
Talent taping.
I feel like you would remember.
Well, I was supposed to go to America's Got Talent taping, but we never got in. We were outside. It was like
you were going to go try to get on it.
No,
like,
just like
talent
into the crowd, the audience for a taping.
Oh, so
they were doing it in Florida, and we were
you
waiting outside.
You were going to show them your two two holes.
Yes,
as your talent.
And for my first trick,
get out, sir.
But I remember seeing Howard Stern walk in. They like did like a grand entrance for everybody. I probably saw
you
Nick
saw
Cannon
Howard
too.
Stern in person.
Yeah,
what was that like?
Great hair. He looks like Slash.
Yeah, he does kind of look like Slash. He is so fucking rich from doing this exact job that it is insulting.
So what I don't get is this. He was obviously like pinnacle of popularity. And then he like kind of tailed off a little bit. But turning.
No, he didn't.
When he went on America's Got Talent, I felt like he was more known among a lot of people for being the America's Got Talent judge. But now he's having this crazy resurgence in like interviewing Hillary Clinton and shit. Like,
dude, he's always been doing. I don't think he ever stopped. He just was only on Sirius. Like, I don't think he really fucked with much else because they were like, "Here's $100 million," and he was like, "Okay, thanks. I don't have to focus on anything else for a while." Just been doing his show, but like, if I don't have Sirius, I never have, so I don't ever hear Stern.
Is he cleaner now than he used to be?
I don't think so.
Does he still have models riding Sibians and trying to shoot hot dogs into their mouth?
I don't think he gets to do the stuff he did in the '90s or 2000s, but I think he still says like outrageous shit all the time. What I've noticed is a lot of his clips are resurfacing. Ha ha! Thank you, Brain. Because the exact thing you're referencing, PC culture becoming something. And what I've noticed is most of the time it's his guests who are getting in trouble, one of which was a former president. The things he said on Howard Stern's show were played repeatedly during the election. The first one, not so much the second one.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, there's just been, it's mostly his guests. He asks questions and get other people to say shit that they could no longer fucking say for sure.
He's just the great incriminator. His
basically,
goal is to get you to incriminate yourself.
Yes. He was, yeah, for sure. Anyway, that's all I have to say about Nick Cannon, which I find hilarious. Jared, what if I told you that we have a sponsor who makes shorts and pants that are so good looking and comfortable that you could wear them to a restaurant, a bar, on your couch, to mow your lawn, either version, swimming in the pool, they dry faster than a bathing suit. You and I are swimming in pants all summer long. Everybody knows that. And if you order them using our code RBP from birddogs.com, you'll get this whistling football that you're holding in your hand right here, Jared. You can see it on the video if you're watching on YouTube. Bird Dogs, making the most comfortable shorts in the world, which you can go swimming in, hit a workout, go running, go for a walk in the neighborhood. They also make pants for golf, for life, for love. They're incredibly comfortable. They have built-in underwear, which makes them a million times more efficient, in my opinion. You just have to pick out one thing instead of two.
Back to you, Jared. Ross, here's the deal. I was in Creek Country, as we mentioned earlier, this weekend.
We did.
I was there for 3 days. Two of those days, I wore bird dogs. I'd walk around, have my dog play in the creek. Then I went to lunch. Then I went to a different creek, swam in that creek.
Where was your bird?
The bird dogs were on my pants. I didn't have a bird at the time.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. These things, I went to restaurants. I went and played outside. I went into the water. I hiked. I literally did everything in my bird dogs. This is like, these are the best shorts in the world. I need to have an entire, we've had people send us where they have an entire drawer that's filled with like 20 bird dogs.
Now. Yeah. There's like 100 different colorways. The pants are incredible too. Literally, if you wanted to live your entire life out in only bird dogs henceforth, you could do that by going to birddogs.com and using the code RBP. And when you order, you're always getting some kind of awesome toy. They gave nunchucks back in the day. I've got some behind me. At one point, you got a rubber ventilated lawn cleats.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the whistling football. It's like when you were a little kid and you'd go to a fast food restaurant and get a toy or open a box of cereal and get a toy. Birddogs.com, code RBP, toy, free whistling football, most comfortable shorts and pants in the world, built-in underwear. Or if you want the ones without built-in underwear, you can get that too if you don't want to be a, you know, champion. Free whistling football, baby. It's like a Nerf, but it's birddogs.com, code RBP, code RBP, birddogs.com. It's time for Trash or Not Trash. It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
It's been
time.
A long, long time.
Is there supposed to be a soundbite for this, or should I just pick one?
No, there is no soundbite for this.
Okay.
But I follow my friend Kevin Clancy, otherwise known as KFC Barstool, on Twitter, at KFC Barstool. And he put up a picture of one of these UPS We Missed You stickers on his door. which I'm now trying to find, and he's got a bajillion promo tweets up in front of it. Good God, man, tweet less. Holy hell on earth.
I miss you. That's how I imagine the UPS driver saying it as he sticks it on there, like 182 style. Where are you?
Oh, okay. The song just clicked in my head now. It took me a second. Damn, Blink 182. It's been a hot minute since I thought about them. But I was thinking about this, and this happens to me all the time, where I'll get home and there's a sticker on my door, and it's from the UPS, and it says, "Sorry, we missed you." And in some instances, it'll be like, very few instances, by the way, it'll be like, "Sign here, and next time we'll just drop it off." And then sometimes it has a box checked, and it's like, "Pick it up from this location." And all of the times, I take that sticker and slap it somewhere and then forget about it because I'm busy, and then I move on with my day, and then the package, there's got to be just like a shit ton of packages floating out there from people never going to pick them up because of stuff like this. Because of the stickers. It's just not an efficient system. There has to be a better way. Signing for packages is such a pain in the dick. And when you try to opt out of it, it's a nightmare, dude. And I get it. If you're having like a computer delivered or like a fucking, I don't know, living animal or like some important shit that can't be left outside because it'll fucking melt, a snowman, then I get it. You need that sign for proof of delivery or whatever the fuck. But like, dude, it's for two off. It'll be like for some clothes. I'm like, what? This shit happened here. Just put them on the porch. There's everybody's doorbell has a camera on it now. If it gets stolen, I make it into a funny video and put it on the next door app and we all win. Like,
porch pirate.
Like, what is going on here? I can't be home in it for a 7-hour window for anything anymore. That's not how life works. This is cable companies, package deliveries. We'll be there between 10 and 6. 10 and 6? The whole fucking day? I have to sit here? I mean, me, it's fine. I live here, work here. But for most people, that's not feasible. How do you people get any packages? I don't get it. It's hard for me, and I don't leave this place.
So trash or not trash? I have a feeling.
It's trash. I hate these fucking things so much. There's got to be something. The sticker system is ass. What can we do? I don't have another idea.
Why don't they just leave it?
Because if it's fucking expensive and then some fucking idiot steals it, everybody loses. I don't know even then. Fuck it. Like, doesn't insurance have this covered? Or something? Fraud department?
Fraud detection?
I'm still so confused about how every time somebody steals a credit card, and then I call my credit card company and go, yo, some dickhead stole my credit card and spent $600 at Macy's. And they go, okay, it's taken care of. Is it? Who? Someone loses there. Is it Macy's? Somebody's getting plowed.
I think it's the credit card company.
But they just don't care because they make so much money off of us being morons that spend money we don't have and then making interest.
Yeah, the whole entire credit card model is, hey, here, rack up all this debt.
Hey, you don't have any money yet, but you're gonna.
Rack up all this debt, and then we'll let you pay off the minimum payment each month. But eventually, you know, you'll probably make enough money to be able to pay off the rest of it. But then all the APRs are like, you're paying 80% interest on the money that's rolling over and shit.
Here's how credit cards really work. You get a credit card, you spend an amount of money you don't have, and maybe it takes a little bit. Maybe you're responsible for a little bit, and you're checking it, and you're paying what you can, and you're checking it, and you're paying the amount you're supposed to, or paying it off fully every month even. And then something happens. Maybe you break your leg. Maybe your dog gets sick. Maybe a family member. Maybe something else. I don't know. Fuck, dude. Shit happens. A car tire blows out. You total your vehicle. Who the shit knows?
You blow your back out?
Life. You get your back blown out by a rapper. Who knows? But suddenly, you have to use an amount of money on your credit card that causes you to stop checking it. Because you know you can't pay it. There's no longer a point in you checking it because you checking it is just going to lead to anxiety knowing you can't pay it, so you just fucking stop paying. And then it's over. The battle has been won, and they're making, you know, a little bit every month, a little bit every month, and you extrapolate that out across every single fucking living person times five because why do people have so many different credit cards? That part, if you should be allowed one, legally, one. And then however much credit you achieve within that card is how much credit you have. Why the fuck would you be allowed to have like five?
Let's not even get into credit scores, which is the stupidest thing of all time.
It's just another example of like a pivotal piece of the system that is geared for all of us to fail. Normal people trying to live within the system.
Hey, if you want to buy a house, you need to prove to us that you're good at having massive amounts of debt, or else we're not going to give you any money.
Why would that be the way it works? It's crazy. It's so weird. It just really is bizarre, which is the exact same topic the segment started off with.
Trash.
Credit cards.
Very trash.
Credit cards and UPS, sorry we missed you stickers. You're not sorry, first of all. You don't give a shit. I almost feel like they enjoy it. They're like, this fuck. They're like slapping it like another idiot who didn't get whatever this is and this, like shaking it up on the way back to the... I've seen Ace Ventura. You remember how Ace Ventura 1 starts? The opening credits is Jim Carrey delivering a package, just kicking the living shit out of it for like 30 minutes on the way to the door.
Do you think
it's half the movie?
Do you think I know how Ace Ventura 1 starts?
I wish I could say confidently that you did, but I know you don't. I know you don't.
I have seen Bruce Almighty. Does that count? So people say that's just Jim Carrey's best movie.
Just because it's Jim Carrey. No one says that. Literally no one says that. No one. Good rebuttal. This episode of RBP is also brought to you by Felix Gray Glasses, the greatest glasses company in the world. I have some on my face right now. I've got two pairs above my head on the bookshelf here for you to see. I think I have like seven pairs at this point to the point that I cannot remember the name of the frames I'm wearing on my face. The West. Look at them.
Named after Jerry West, because Ross is the logo.
Behold them. They're not named after Jerry West. But screens, Jared, we can't live without them. They're burning our fucking eyes out day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. And that's where Felix Gray steps in and saves all of our eyes. There are a lot of blue light glasses on the market, but to lump them all together is like lumping Honda Civics and Teslas together as cars. Most blue light glasses filter 2 to 3% of blue light from screens. Felix Gray filters 15 times more.
Wow.
Finally, a pair of glasses designed for the 21st century. Join the over 250,000 people that report noticeable relief from screen time with their glasses. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/RBP. felixgrayglasses.com/RBP to shop glasses that work as hard as you do. That's felixgrayglasses.com/RBP. Free shipping, free exchanges, 30-day money-back guarantee. felixgrayglasses.com/RBP. I've been wearing these for a couple years now. I stare at screens all day, every day, Jared. You know, this not just the laptop, the cell phone, the gaming computer. When I'm watching movies.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's all day, every day.
Ross will not talk to me face-to-face. He makes me FaceTime him.
Yeah.
Even though I'm like one room over.
Right now, you guys think we're in the same room. We're actually not. I'm staring at a screen that has Jared on it, and he's staring at a screen in the next room that has me on it, and not for any reason. It's not like a safety protocol. It's just I love screens. So yeah. I need these glasses to protect my eyes from the blue light coming from the screens. Seriously, if I just wore my contacts all day and I do my job and stare at my screens, by the end of the day, my eyes hurt pretty bad. Sometimes I have a headache. They're worn the hell out, though. And I've worn contacts and glasses since I was a little kid and played with screens and stared at them since I was a little kid. And that's always been the way it is. And since I started wearing Felix Grays a few years ago when they started supporting the podcast, I mean, it is an insane difference, which is why a lot of the time now I just wear them all day, because while I do my job and go about my business, my eyes can stay comfortable. So go to felixgrayglasses.com/RBP today and join me with comfortable, protected eyes. It's time to take some calls from our listeners. Our number is 888-WR-BOLEN, 888-WR-B-O-L-E-N. We have a call coming in now. That was fast. Here's our first call of the day. Hit it.
What's going on? This is Chris from Boston, and I wanted to take a minute to say, can we normalize leaving our homies voicemails? Like, I tell all my buddies, if I call you on Monday, don't pick it up, because I like to just scream into the voicemail box for about a minute straight. You know, tell them about the weather, tell them a funny joke. It starts their week off right. Starts my week off right. It's just a great tone setter. So can we please just normalize leaving our buddies' voicemails? Gang, gang, gang.
Okay, I've made a lot of jokes about voicemail. I actually called my dad for Father's Day on Sunday, yesterday, and he was taking a nap. So I left him a voicemail. I was like, I think you are one of a few people on the planet that I would actually leave a voicemail for, but you're old as shit, so I will. Like, happy Father's Day. I talk about how, like, you know, who leaves a voicemail? Like, if you even call me at all, like, you better be the police or somebody better be dead, right? Like, text me, you psychopath. But this concept is kind of amazing. Like, it, because here's the thing. I don't want to talk on the phone. I talk for a living. I'm talking all day, every fucking day. I'm talking to a therapist. I'm talking to, you know, you.
You're talking to my gimp.
What?
What?
And I just don't want to talk on the phone. That being said, I do sometimes want to hear another human voice in what you have to say. And sometimes something is like too long for a text message. And the concept of just using voicemail to hype up your homies as a motivator and like a mental health tool is amazing. Because like, who couldn't use a little extra pep talk from this dude on a Monday morning? Everybody could use that.
Now, I think they've actually invented something that is better than voicemail for this, and that is voice texts. Because then your buddy doesn't have to look at the phone, wait 10 seconds while it's ringing so he can get back to whatever he was doing on his phone. He just sends right to the voice text.
When you say voice text, you mean how you can use your voice to make a text message?
No, like, you can send an audio message through iMessage now. Not voice to text. I'm saying, like,
right.
I can record right now, hey, Ross, what's up? Send you that audio message, and you can get it in iMessage.
I can play
iMessage.
It right there. Sure. Yeah. That probably makes more, but, like, for, like, people older than 35, the voicemail thing is probably, because I don't even know how to send a voice thing.
But then they might answer.
They added too many things. I'm pounding, I'm making light up messages.
You're what?
Happy birthday. You know how you can send a message just pounding? You're what?
Okay. What do you even mean by
I like the concept, but now that you've mentioned the voice thing, it's like, oh, now we're back to this being terrible. Because, like, look, man, I can go through the voicemails in my phone right now, okay? And it is just a murderer's row of people I don't want to talk to. Doctors, accountants, tax guys, lawyers. I mean, in the numbers I don't have. From all over the France.
Who's calling you from France?
I don't know, because I'm never listening to that voicemail. And then I save all my grandma's voicemails. So I have a bunch from like 2018, 19, 20, which is sweet. But yeah, I don't know. Never mind. No. No is my final answer. Next call.
What's up, Ross? What's up, J-Bone? It's Ryan from Chicago/Minneapolis. I've done both now. I live both places, depending on the time of the year. I just wanted to give this call to say, if you're not on Patreon yet, you should be. I joined today. Easiest $5 I've ever spent in my life. Everyone should be on it. First second I joined, I was like, why the fuck didn't I do this earlier? Shout out to Ross and J-Bone. Keep doing your shit, man. That's all. Peace.
Wow, it's so random that call was about how great our Patreon page is. Love that. Thank you very much for hitting 888-WR-BOLAND to express your pleasure in your purchase and your pledge supporting this podcast. A lot of P's there. On patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, Patreon. It's simply a platform that allows us to provide you with more content in exchange for your direct support in the form of a minimum $5 pledge per month, and you'll get every ad-free Friday episode right there on patreon.com/RossBolandPodcast, where this caller is a satisfied customer, which means we're all winning. Jared?
Yeah, most people say, like, the second they got a Patreon and they go, oh my God, there's like 100 episodes of RBP that I can listen to now, even though I thought I was caught up on RBP, but really I've listened to 1/4 of the episodes ever recorded.
Yep.
They pretty much say something like that. You know, the numbers might be a little off there, but it's pretty much that.
That is correct. Yeah, join now and you can listen to all the latest episodes. We drop an ad-free episode every Friday. They're always more unhinged than a normal podcast, even. It's a lot of fun. And people seem to be really enjoying the Patreon resurgence. We're back up over 1,000 people. If you go to patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, you can see we have goals set out for when we hit 1,500, 2,000, and 3,000 people, etc. Really looking forward to hitting some of those with y'all. So go support the podcast. We love y'all. Patreon is the most important place you can go and support us, aside from supporting our sponsors. So make sure you go. Be like our caller here. Support the show. Next and final call from our hotline today.
Ross Bolin. What up? Alex from Crescent City, California, coming in at you. Currently sitting at the Jack in the Box drive-thru and just having a moment and thinking about it being 2021 and we don't have fucking shields for inclement weather in the drive-thru. We don't have any coverage from rain, snow, sleet, cats, dogs, what have you. How is this even possible? I feel like the big chains have gotten off the hook on it. Because I'm sitting here in the rain. Pretty fucking inconvenient. My shit's all wet. Ugh. You feel me? I feel you feel me. All right, keep doing what you're doing. Peace.
Okay, the other day I was sitting in the drive-thru. I think I was at Dairy Queen, and I'm in the Tesla, and it was raining, and water was getting in the car. Pretty substantial amount. When I'm sitting there at the window with the window rolled down because I'm about to get my food, man. And, you know, I try to time it. Like, I keep the window rolled up until the last, absolute last second when the person's right there, and it'd be literally rude if I didn't roll it down. And I'm still getting, it's like getting all up in the car. And it was the first time I thought to myself, like, fuck, Elon, you couldn't have invented the roof better, like, so that this didn't happen to me or something. And it's not the car's fault. This is such an easily fixable problem that it's shocking when I run into it. Now, some fast food restaurants have taken care of this shit. Like, I feel like P. Terry's has a goddamn enormous roof over the thing so that you don't get touched.
Some do. The one by me does not.
Oh, you're right. It's location by location for sure. Never mind, because there's one now that I'm thinking of it on South Lamar's that's absolutely zero coverage. It's just weird. Like, because the inside of the car is not meant to be filled with water. Jared, it's not a swimming pool. And it's a pain in the ass when, like, you drive away from a fast food place and now your driver's side, your left side's all wet. You put your arm back on the door, now it's just all slimy and wet. It's fucking gross. And that's, like, maybe you got cloth old doors. It's just absorbing it. It's just mold now. It's rainwater.
The whole point of the drive-thru is for a convenient experience to not have to, like, inconvenience yourself to get,
like,
the food.
Like, I am dead. I might as well get out of the car in the rain. Like, I'd rather do that than just let water come into my fucking car for 20 minutes. And the drive-thru in America, it was always going to be this, like, just like with, like, you know, anything innovative. Uber, so short-lived before it becomes trash. Streaming services, now there's 400 of them. I mean, fast food, this was always going to happen. You know, everybody saw it coming from a million miles away, the first couple of these that were invented. Yeah, they had to have known, like, oh, this isn't going to be good.
Chick-fil-A is the only place that does drive-thru correctly.
But most fast food places, because Chick-fil-A is, everybody knows, the most difficult franchise to even buy into because their standards are so high when it comes to, well, then they're also just the most prejudiced. Most places are run like ass. And we always bring up this movie, but, like, The Founder, starring Michael Keaton as Ray Kroc, where he basically steals and starts the McDonald's franchise. We all know it. McDonald's, you know McDonald's, Jared. I had McDonald's last night, in fact. 10-piece McNugget, spicy McChicken, Oreo McFlurry.
Large fry?
Large fry, yes. Thank you for making me include that. I feel ashamed. But in that movie, they go through how the fast food experience originally, you know, was meant to be this, like, pristine, very quick and family-friendly experience, and then how even in the movie, he fights against, like, the locations becoming shitty and, like, franchisees not caring about the standards the way he did. Well, it's been, you know, 30 years now or whatever, so what do you think's happened? Everything has gotten so much worse. It's a nightmare at most fast food places. One of my favorites, Popeyes, our running joke is that you do not get what you order, and it's sort of a fun surprise.
Yep. Or, it's not, yeah, like, last time I picked Ross and I up, like, a work lunch from there, which is, again, a just crazy move to do, to get Popeyes for lunch. I stopped in, and I was like, yeah, I'll get, you know, this and this. And they literally only gave me the first part. And I had to go back through the drive-thru, pretend Like, I had not just gone through and be like, hey, can I get insert second thing here? And I went through and picked up the second thing. And, like, had to act like
they
didn't
mess
up.
Why didn't you just say...
Because they didn't charge me for it, so what am I going to say? Hey, you're an idiot.
Oh,
now make me more food.
There was no point in bringing it up. I think that makes you a smart, a good person, though. Like, because, you know, my argument would be that's a good litmus test for, like, how much of a pain in the ass are you? Because if you drive back through and you bring it up and shame them, it's like, no one is winning there. Like, you're not accomplishing anything. They don't care.
They don't care at all.
They don't care. To think that you can make them care makes you an egotistical psycho because you're not that powerful. So I'm like you, man. You don't insert that energy. If it's not on your receipt, don't bring that shit up. Just fucking order like you weren't there before and goof on them. Troll these fools at the window. If they're like, weren't you just be like, nah, I was not.
I have a twin, and just so you know, he always wipes his ass with his credit card before he hands it into the drive-thru, just so you know.
Why?
Well, that's what I'd say to them, so then they'd be like, oh my god, I just touched poop on the credit card that I just handled.
Jesus, strange move.
You said to troll them.
Well, this is why I keep a box of fake mustaches in my middle console, so I can pull out a different one when I go back through for the third time at Popeye's, because that's how many times it takes to get your entire order if you want it, which I normally don't take the time to get. I just go home.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
It is true, Jared. And wouldn't it be great if there were a pocket-sized guide that helps you sleep, focus, act, be better, and forget all about the troubling segment we just did? There is. And if you have 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life, and they already have, technically, because today's episode is brought to you by Headspace, your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. We've spent a lot of time since you and I started doing the show together talking about meditation as a tool, how helpful it can be to finding peace in your day-to-day, especially when you're struggling. But for each and every one of us, even if you don't have mental health issues or feel like you have anxiety or struggle with any level of life, meditation will just give you yet another layer of comfort and mindfulness. And Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing in the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. If you're overwhelmed, they have a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. If you need some help falling asleep, Headspace has wind-down sessions their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm about to do some mindfulness after this pod to kind of, you know, recenter after spilling my guts out to the world.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with meditation, you're like, I don't know how it works. That's exactly why Headspace exists, because it is much easier than you're probably making it out in your head. And all you have to do is download the app. It's backed by 25 published studies on its benefits. They have 600,000 five-star reviews, over 60 million downloads, and they make it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier. Headspace is a meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/Ross. That's headspace.com/Ross for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. It's the best deal offered right now. Free 1-month trial. Headspace.com/Ross today, Jared.
I would like to issue a challenge to our listeners.
Challenge them.
Again, as I said before, I was somebody who didn't believe in mindfulness until I tried it and it worked for me. I would like you to download.
That's two of us.
Yep.
100% of the people in the room.
Download Headspace.
I used to make fun of shit like this on the reg. Few years back.
Download Headspace, get that 1-month free trial, and then I want you to, the first time you experience what I would call the meditative state, I want you to DM me and let me know what it feels like. I'm like 5 minutes into the first one, I was like, okay, I'm not really sure what's happening. By the end of it, I had entered this state where you're not asleep, but your brain is on, but you're not thinking about anything. It's just like existing in peace.
And for those of us like Jared and I, who are wound up pretty tightly and have some anxieties, and we're creative guys, and it's the way that we're actually wired, a little more high strung, I would say, we don't get to experience that feeling very often. For those of you who are runners and you experience what's called a runner's high, or you're an athlete and after you play in a sporting event, or you know, there are any number of ways that people achieve this feel. Yoga is one where, the first time I went to yoga, when it ended, I was like, oh my God, I get it. You fuckers, this is why you go do this. Meditation's the same way, man. It's like the first time you achieve that meditative state, you realize why people do it and feel silly for not having done it before. So try it. Yeah, you know. And then holler at us and let us know what you thought. Headspace.com/Ross today. Your Monday morning viral video that every single media publication posted on Instagram was pretty unexpected. It was Dave Chappelle performing Creep at a Foo Fighters concert at Madison Square Garden, the first full capacity event since the pandemic at MSG, I believe. There's a lot of things, a lot of angles we could have done here. I picked this one. What's with the song choice? Like, if I work my dick off and get to, like, a Dave Chappelle or, like, the other person that I think of that would do something like this, like Bill Murray, like, the level of legendary where you can literally go and do whatever you want. I am picking a better song when Dave Grohl invites me on stage with the Foo Fighters and says I can do whatever jam to officially end a worldwide pandemic. Because, like, this is over. The pandemic is fucking over. It's over in America. The Roaring Twenties have begun. If Dave Chappelle is opening Foo Fighters concerts, picking, like, bad karaoke songs. That's the Creep? He went with Creep? That's like what Zuck would pick. It makes me think of The Social Network.
It's also bad because right now, in this era of, like, comedians being creeps, you're like, the song
didn't
is about...
Didn't it feel like a weird admission almost? Like, I don't even like seeing Dave sing I'm a Creep.
Like, Dave, our biggest worry is that you're a creep. Like, don't do this to us.
Like, you're one of two, three guys standing. Dude, I just don't understand. Like, Dave Chappelle treated going on stage with the Foo at, and it's, the venue's very important. Like, don't get me wrong. If this is like Woodlands Mitchell Pavilion outside of Houston, I don't care. You can pick Creep. It's not. It's Madison Square Garden. It's a really, really, really big deal. He can sing any song. And I imagine that the reason he wanted to do this is because it'd be cool for once to feel like a rock star, right? To sing a rock song at a rock concert in front of a rock crowd. And he picked Creep. Creep. I at least would, I mean, maybe that's kind of funny to him. Maybe, I don't know. It didn't seem funny to me. I'd at least pick something fucking hilarious, like Limp Bizkit Nookie or some shit, like, or a Kid Rock song. Like, let's get weird. What, I just don't, it's a, just a, in fact, that's not even true. I would do a rap song if it was me, because that would be the funniest possible thing. Like, I would do Mo City Don.
Do you know every word of Mo City Don?
Yes, Jared.
So there we go. I think it's possible. Dave only knows all the words to a few songs, and this
Creep
happened to be one of them.
And I mean, that's what's shocking to me, because, like, I remember Chappelle's show, and I don't remember any, like, grunge rock bands coming on and being the musical guests. It was, like, Common and Talib Kweli and Kanye and, like, what the fuck, Creep?
that's Radiohead, right?
Yeah, but did he think, like, I don't know, I gotta pick a white rock band because these guys are white rockers or some shit? Like, Dave Grohl is one of the coolest dudes walking the face of the earth. He literally could have done any fucking song. Like, if David said fucking anything to Dave, I think Dave would have been down with Dave. And he picked Creep. It's just, I am shocked. I am in awe of the musical decision by Dave. It concerns me more than anything for the reason you brought up. It's like, please don't be a red flag.
If you want to pick the safest, I think 100%, the safest song you can pick, whether it's karaoke, whether you're on stage at a Foo Fighters concert, the safest karaoke song you could ever pick nowadays, it's Mr. Brightside. Everybody loves Mr. Brightside.
Which one sings along.
What? Mr. Brightside? You just want me to sing it?
No, you can just say the words if you want.
Open up my eager eyes, because I'm Mr. Brightside. Jealousy.
Why? I don't agree. Why is that the number one song?
Everybody loves Mr. Brightside. That's like the most singable, sing-along song.
I don't know the words to that song.
Yes, you do.
No, I absolutely don't. Mr. Brightside is your fucking go-to karaoke song?
That is a go-to.
Mine is Seal Kiss from a Rose.
Okay. Let's go on. Mine is Canned Heat by Jamiroquai.
Mr. Brightside. I'm looking at a list now on Teen Vogue. Mr. Brightside comes in at number 4 by The Killers, behind Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears, Dangerous Woman by Ariana Grande, and Truth Hurts by Lizzo, making this list ass.
Truth Hurts would be a good karaoke song.
Don't Speak by No Doubt. If you pick any of the ones on the all-time karaoke list as your karaoke song, I'm out. Unless it's Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis.
What are the last karaoke songs you've done in front of a crowd of strangers, not like in front of your friends?
It's been a decade.
Okay, I did Third Eye Blind's... Semi-Charmed Life, Did that? I did that at live band karaoke, where you have an actual band playing on stage and you're the singer. That was sick. And then I did Folsom Prison Blues in Chicago.
That's a good move. I like that choice for you, though.
Thank you.
What was the first one?
Semi-Charmed Life by Third Eye Blind.
I don't know about that. That's the meth song, Jerry.
Yeah, that's the meth song. It is. And then, so the night that I did Folsom Prison Blues, I got way drunker. And then I went back on stage and I did a full falsetto version of I Want You Back.
That's also funny. But like, dude, I could never wrap my head around karaoke. Micah, our original co-host way back in the day, producer Micah, was a big karaoke guy. He used to talk about it a lot. We would put up videos of him at this crazy karaoke bar in Austin. And Micah was ass at karaoke, but like, he thought he was a god.
He has great presence on stage, great energy. And that's half of karaoke is your energy. The other half is your
voice.
I
totally disagree. It's 90% your voice to me. If you sound awful, I do not care how entertaining. It's because I can't get past the fact that you're destroying beauty. Like, then just turn off the microphone, lip sync it, and run around like a fucking idiot. But like, I can't stand the butchering of somebody else's art. Like, what if it was you got to put on the podcast and go up on stage and just you yell out the shit that I say, but with your horrible ass voice? It's insulting to my art.
Hey, if we hit 2,000 patrons, I'll go sing my full falsetto version of I Want You Back by the Jackson 5 at a karaoke bar.
I will go to the bar and film it and then immediately leave right after. I just don't like them. They're terrible places if you don't drink.
The worst thing, too, is like, oh, it'd be really funny if I sing this song to everybody. You know, you're at the karaoke bar, you're chilling, you sign up, and they're like, all right, you'll be on in 2.5 hours. And you're like, great. Now we need to watch all these shitty ass.
By 1:40 a.m., maybe you get on. You're barely conscious. Everybody's there. Yeah. Last time I went to a karaoke bar, I told the story on the show. And it was Emos or Egos in
Egos.
Austin? Egos in Austin. And I showed up probably 2 drinks deep. And I walked up to the bar. And this was in the Bill Chungus-y phase. I ordered a drink and the guy goes, yeah, you've had too much, buddy. Sorry. I had just arrived and I was not drunk. And he cut me off. And that was it. That was the last time I went to a karaoke bar. I was like, man, fuck these people. And now I don't drink anymore. So I was never really karaoke guy. I'm a shower singer. Like, those performances are for me, though. You know?
I mean, you did a pretty good freestyle at the beginning of episode 300.
That was original music. That was an original track, Jared. RBP 300 Freestyle is the song. It's on Spotify. And...
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. And I didn't karaoke. It's not karaoke if you wrote the song in your head.
Are you ever going to... A lot of people want to know when you're going to come out with a second track or your mixtape.
When we have the time, when we hit 3,000 patrons, I'll drop a 3-song album.
Really?
Yeah.
So make sure you get on Patreon.
Patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. I needed everybody to know before we head out today that when Jared talks to dogs, he affects the accent of an old Hispanic woman, like the cleaning lady in Family Guy.
I think of it more as an Italian grandma. Oh, hello, Bella. How are you?
Okay, sometimes it's a little bit more Italian, like you just did it right there, Italian. But a lot of the times it's like, oh, hello, Bruce. You're very nice.
Bruce, you're very nice.
Oh, hello, Bella. You're very sweet. Hello, Bella.
That's literally what I say to them all the time.
And... it's the funniest shit. Like, everybody has this dog voice they used to talk to dogs, and mine's basically like the same as baby voice. Jared's is my favorite of anyone I've ever encountered, though, and it reminds me of that the housekeeper from Family Guy.
We need more limon pledge. No, no.
That's Jared talking to dogs.
Hello, Bruce. You're very nice.
I forget her name.
Hello, Bella.
Rosalinda? I'll look it up. I don't want to disrespect her. She's an amazing housekeeper
Bella,
character.
Bella, you're so sweet. You look at me. We friends. We friends.
I actually put up a video on my Instagram today of me
Consuela.
I put up a video of me talking like that to Bella on my
Did
Instagram
you really?
Today. Yeah.
What a coincidence. What a coincidence. This has been another episode of the Ross Bolin Podcast with me, Ross Bolin, and Jared Borislow. We hope you enjoyed yourselves. Follow us on social media at WRBOLEN. I am at WRBolin on all social. Jared is at Jared Borislow. RBP is on every platform, on TikTok at the Ross Bolin Podcast, on Instagram at the Ross Bolin Podcast, on Twitter at Ross Bolin Pod. Share our stuff on social when you see it, when you like it, comment, tag a friend, share it to your story. Also, share anything related to the show that you encounter, whether it's shopping cart crap or any of the new stuff we've talked about over the past 6 months, and tag us, and we will share it on our story.
Yes, we love when people tag us on Instagram stories, and then we will repost you because it's like spreading the love of all the inside jokes we have on the show, all the little bits, all the little trash or not trash.
So if people see it and they go, hey, I also think that's funny, maybe I would like that podcast. It's a good way for you to share the show. On top of if you tell somebody about the show and maybe they still need a little kick over the hump to actually get to go listen and you put something up on your Instagram story, then hey, maybe that's the kick they needed. We appreciate y'all so much for helping us continue to grow into 2021. Obviously, like we've talked about, last year was difficult for everybody in the industry, us in particular, based on my personal circumstances. So we really do need you to continue to support our sponsors like the ones we had today in Headspace. Go do your meditation. Go get headspace.com/Ross today. Free month. Birddogs.com. Code RBP. Free whistling football with your order of the most comfortable pants or shorts on earth. And felixgrayglasses.com/RBP for the best blue light glasses in the game. And you do not have to be blind like me to get them, by the way. They have non-prescription and readers and night glasses.
That's what I use.
Yeah, they're great. But support our sponsors. It's very, very important. That's the way our business works. If you support our sponsors and they continue to see business as a result of supporting our show, then they continue to support our show, and that's the way the show continues to go. So support our sponsors and go to support directly at patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast and support in return, you will get ad-free episodes on Fridays plus mental health minisodes. I've got one coming out later this week.
Yeah, if you're in the $10 or $100 tiers, you're getting 6 columns from now through the end of the month.
Six columns.
We like to backload them so we can brainstorm the first half of the month.
Well, we do, but plus we're also just very busy right now, so we end up dropping a lot of columns towards the end of the month in the mental health minisodes, but also every Friday during every month. If you're on patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast, no matter what the tier, it's only $5 minimum to support the show, and you'll get those ad-free Friday episodes each and every month. So, go. patreon.com/RossBolinPodcast. Jared and I will be back on Wednesday. Very excited.
Me too.
Have a great Monday. We'll be back then. Monday, Wednesday, every week. Tell your friends about the show. Share RBP. Fulfill your legal obligations. Hit us up on social media. Holler at us on Twitch. Billy and the Bone Man. Out!
Alrighty then.